Today's scripture is from Mark chapter 2, verses 23 to 28. Jesus went through the wheat fields on the Sabbath. As the disciples made their way, they were picking the heads of wheat. The Pharisees said to Jesus, "Look, why are they breaking the Sabbath law?" He said to them, "Haven't you ever read what David did when he was in need, when he and those with him were hungry? During the time when Ebenezer was highest priest, David went into God's house and ate the bread of the presence, which only the priests were allowed to eat. He also gave bread to those who were with him." Then he said, "The Sabbath was created for humans. Humans weren't created for the Sabbath. This is why the human one is the Lord, even over the Sabbath." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Shelby, for reading our scripture. And I just want you to know, if you too would like it to be your first time reading scripture, we're always taking scripture readers, so we appreciate you and serving with us this morning. Like I said, my name is Mindy Moore, and I'm the campus pastor here at St. Luke's Midtown. And if you were away last week, which I'm going to admit, I Facebook stalked all of you so much, and there were like people at the lake, it looked like so much fun. But if you were away, or it's your first time here, I want you to know what we're doing with this sermon series that we're in right now called Parched. So just like in the middle of the summer when it's hot out and sometimes you need a big, cold glass of water, sometimes our souls can get in that place too. We can get spiritually thirsty. We can get spiritually parched. And so if that's how you're coming in here this morning, I just want you to know, first of all, it's not just you. You're in good company. And the good news is that God gives us tools to help quench that spiritual thirst that we have. So we're going to look at a different one of those tools every single week throughout this series. And I want to invite you to pray with me as we look at a tool together today. Let's pray. God, I am grateful that you are here. I'm grateful that your presence with us doesn't depend on the condition of our souls. God, you just show up and you invite us to spend some time with you. So that's what we want to do today, Lord. We just want to be with you. We want to hear what you might have to say to us. And I pray that, God, you could give us ears to hear the words that you have. So Jesus, thank you for the way that you love us. Thank you for the place that we find ourselves in today. Amen. Amen. Well, I want to tell you about one of my very favorite moments as a preacher, and this happened several years ago. And I'll tell you, it was not my favorite moment because it was like the best sermon ever. I don't remember the sermon. I don't know if it was good. I don't know if it was bad, but it was my favorite moment because of the reaction that one of the women in the congregation had. And before I tell you about her reaction, I'm going to tell you a preacher's secret. So a secret that we have is that we find all of you out there who are what I would call active listeners. You know who you are. You do. You do. You're raising. Thank you, Angie. She's like, it's me. Yes. So you are the people that you nod, you make eye contact. Sometimes you even smile, which feels really good. Like, we love our active listeners in the congregation. And so this woman was one of my active listeners. Okay, I'd known her for a long time. She was very consistent in coming to church, but I hadn't seen her in a while. And this was her first Sunday back after being gone for a very long time because she had just had a baby. So I get there, I start preaching, I'm doing my thing, I look over at this woman, I'm ready to see the eye contact and the nod, and she is completely asleep. I mean, I'm talking about she has the baby in the baby carrier. She is leaned back. Her mouth is open. The baby is asleep. She is asleep. They're having the best nap I've ever seen. And my favorite part of this story is that after the sermon, you know, after the service, we stand out in the little lobby and we talk to you and all that stuff. She comes up to me, looks me straight in the eye, totally serious, and goes, "Mindy, that was a great sermon." I just love it. I was like, you are my hero. It was amazing. So it's one of my favorite moments ever. And the question that it brings up for me is, how many of us could use some rest like that today? How many of us could use some rest like that? And you know, I am not just talking about a nap. I'm talking about our souls. How many of us could use some deep healing rest in our souls? My guess is that probably a lot of us would say yes to that. My guess is that as we go into this second week of the series, this practice that we're going to talk about today is one that a lot of us need, but we're not always sure how to get to. So the practice that we're looking at today is one that I'm calling restore. Now, you can use a lot of different words for this. You can say rest, you can get really churchy, and you can say Sabbath, like we heard in our scripture. But whatever you call it, the concept is kind of the same. It's this idea that we have to set intentional time to reconnect with God and to let ourselves restore every part of ourselves. So I'm talking about your spiritual life, your emotional life, your physical life, your relational life. All of that stuff matters, and all of that stuff needs rest. And what's interesting about this practice is that even though it is all throughout Scripture, even though self-care is kind of a buzzword in our world right now, this one can be really hard for a lot of us. Like, there are a lot of tired people walking around out there. And it's actually why I really loved the fact that this woman fell asleep in my sermon, because I looked at her and I said, this is someone who needed rest, and she took it. Now, I'm not inviting all of you to like come here and nap at 11 o'clock on a Sunday morning. I want to be really clear about that. But I just thought, what if all of us we're that dedicated to knowing that we are tired and we need rest, and we will do whatever it takes to get it. No matter what those barriers are, no matter what the obstacles are, we are going to be people who are rested and restored. In fact, I actually want to invite you. You have these sermon notes. We've been putting them in your bulletin every week. I want you to take this out, and I want to invite you to write down this question. What keeps you from a rhythm of being restored, a rhythm of being rested? Now, you can even make that a lot simpler of a question. You can just say, what gets in the way for you? I don't want to be the bearer of bad news this morning, but here's what I know. If I let this be a free essay kind of moment, we could write a lot of stuff to answer this question. There are a lot of things that get in the way for all of us, and some of those things are out here. They're external, but some of them are in here. And so I want to unpack that with you today, to look at what gets in the way and maybe what does Jesus invite us to do about it. So if we start by looking at what's going on around us, the simple truth of our world today is that we live in a world that is not designed for rest. Now, here's what's ironic to me. When the world was designed, like in the biblical creation story, you know what a big part of it was? Rest. Rest is the exclamation point on God's creation story. We see it all the way back at the very beginning of the Bible. If we go all the way back to Genesis 2, it tells us this. It says, on the sixth day, God completed all the work he had done, and on the seventh day, God rested. God rested. God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it, God rested from all the work of creation. So this idea of rest is baked into the fabric of how things are supposed to be, but all you have to do is keep reading to realize it didn't stay that way for very long. When we get to the second book of the Bible, the book of Exodus, we see that there are people are doing all the things, and God kind of comes in and says, hey, wait, I need you to remember this thing. I need you to remember the fact that we are a people built to rest. And so what God does in this second book is God gives it to Moses to bring to people as a law. I mean, it is so important to God that we know that we need to rest that it makes its way into the Ten Commandments. It's number four. It just says very simply, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. And I think what God's trying to say to the people there is, remember that you as people have limits. Remember that I am God and you are not, and that's actually okay. And I think if that's God talking to the people then, what do you think God would say to us now? What do you think God would say to us now if God could see, or does see, the worlds that we've created, the lives that we've created? I mean, I think about the fact that we are people who have Excel spreadsheets to keep track of where our kids are with their after-school programs, okay? And that's not a bad thing. We don't want to leave the third child at gymnastics because that's what will happen. But we have these spreadsheets. We have Teams that comes through like texts on our phones. We are people who are expected to be available 24/7. That's what the world around us says. And I'm not saying there's not a lot of good stuff happening in our lives, okay? I'm a person that likes to have a very full and good and productive life. But I just worry sometimes that we have given ourselves so much stuff to do that we've forgotten to give ourselves time to be restored. And I think that God even goes so far to give Sabbath as a law because even back then in the time of Moses, it was hard to find the time. Now, yes, they were living in a very different world than we are, but for them, even productivity was almost a matter of life and death. Like, they had to do all the things so that they could survive, so that they could keep their society running, so that they could do that. And God says, even with the stakes being as high as they are, you can rest. Even then, God knew that rest wasn't something that was going to organically happen for all of those people. You know, I think about it a little bit like a speed limit. Now, I would love to tell you that I just naturally know how fast to go, how slow to go, so that I'm safe and so that the people around me are safe. But if you've ever been in my car while I'm driving, not looking at my husband right now, you know that that's not true. It's not true. For me, driving is a necessary evil to get from point A to point B, and I would like to do that task as efficiently as possible. And so I need a speed limit. I need a boundary. I need a reminder, because as much as I aspire to go slower, I know that I won't. And I think it's true with rest. We might aspire to go slower. We might aspire to stop and make those limits, but sometimes we just won't. We need that reminder that God gives us. And we especially need that reminder when the whole world around us is saying, go, go, go. We need to remember to slow down. I don't know if you've heard of Trisha Hersey before, but she is the founder of the Knapp Ministry, and she's the author of the book called Rest is Resistance. And I will say, if you have not heard of her or the Knapp Ministry, this is the second thing I want you to write on your sermon notes, because I want you to go home and look up her work. Her work for me as a pastor and just as a white person of faith has really been life-changing, because her work comes out of the stream of Black liberation theology. And what she looks at is, you know, rest is more than self-care. Rest is a way to really resist some of the parts of our world that are actually kind of broken and unhelpful. And so she posted this on Instagram a couple of weeks ago. She said this. She said, "We are constantly told to go harder, grind more, boss up, push through, fake it till you make it, and sleep when you are dead. I'm wondering when we can find tenderness, softness, alignment, and rest. Aren't you tired? Aren't you tired? You know, it's okay if your answer to that question is yes. I just want you to know it's safe to voice that. Because my hunch is that a lot of us here feel like we can't say yes to that question. A lot of us here feel like if we slow down, the consequences would be so great that we wouldn't know what to do with it. Because I do think that we live in a world that's not designed for rest. That's going on around us. But if we're really honest, sometimes our inability to rest, to restore to Sabbath, it comes from in here. It comes from this voice in our head that says, go, go, go. And if you stop, you fail. If you stop, you miss out. I would say that even some of us, and I'm talking to you as someone who's right there with you, some of us have hooked our worth into what we do and what we produce and what we can put on our resume, and we've got to let that go. It's getting in the way of us connecting with God and having a healthy rhythm of rest and Sabbath. And I think it's why the words of Jesus in the scripture that we read today are challenging even to us right now. You know, he's taking people's ideas about Sabbath and being restored, and he's saying there is something so much bigger than you can even imagine. Now, I'll be really real with you. The setting, it's different than our lives right now. Like, we are probably not walking through a grain field trying to figure out if we can eat or not on a Sunday. Okay, like, it's different. But I do think that the core of what Jesus is trying to talk about here in this conversation he has with the Pharisees and his disciples, the core, that transcends time and space. Because the core of what he wants us to know is that whatever our narrative is around what it means to be restored, there might be something better out there. And as he challenges the Pharisees' understanding of this thing that they think that they know and these rules that they really want to keep, he says something that is so powerful to you and me even now. He says, the Sabbath was created for humans. Humans weren't created for the Sabbath. And what he means here is that this thing called Sabbath, this thing called rest, this is a gift. This is a gift that God gives you. And spoiler alert, it's a gift that God actually wants each of us to use. You know, I think sometimes we get this gift and we think, well, I'll just get to it when I have time, or maybe this gift isn't for me, but this is not like a sweater that your aunt gave you, okay? This is a good gift that each and every one of us needs to open. Because this gift is the thing that reconnects us to God. This gift is the thing that keeps us healthy. This gift is a practice. And so Jesus is saying to the Pharisees, you've made this thing a law that you have to keep. It's an obligation. I think what Jesus would say to us is you've made this a nice accessory to your life that you fit in when you're able to. But in both cases, I think Jesus would say, I want more for you. I want something better. Now, I warned you last week, if you were here, that each and every week we talk about a spiritual practice, I'm going to say the same thing. And I'm going to say that we do these practices for us, but we also do them for others. And friends, I cannot think of a better example of a practice that we do for us and for others than this one right here. Because when we rest, we do connect to God. It's good. We get back to God, but we also do something else. When we rest, we make space to heal. And no matter who you are, no matter what your story is, we all have something that we need to heal from. We all have someone that we need to forgive. We all have false narratives that we need to rewire and tell a better story. We all have that stuff. And I would guess that we've all had someone in our lives who hasn't done that work, and we've felt the impact of it. I might even say that some of us have been that person who hasn't done that work, and others have felt the impact of that too. So our ability to rest is a big deal, and it matters. And if you're listening to this and you're thinking, okay, I hear you, but this is not me. This is not my life. I don't have a rhythm of rest. I'm not doing this. I feel like my foot is just strapped to the gas pedal of my life. I just want to invite you that this might be an invitation to try. It might be an invitation to try something different, to not worry about getting it wrong or right, but just invite Jesus to make you curious about what it could look like for you. And I really want you to hear this today. You know, we think about things like spiritual practices, like rhythms of rest, and we can look around us and we can see people that seem like they're doing it right. And if ours doesn't look like that, we think, well, this just isn't for me. I don't do it that way, so I just don't do it. And when it comes to rest, I just look at Jesus, and I think Jesus cares so much more about the rhythm than the rules. He's more concerned with the rhythm than the rules. And when it comes to rest, one size does not fit all. Now, if you've ever been on vacation with someone who's not just you, you know this, okay? One size does not fit all. We are actually leaving for vacation right after this service, and we are going to someplace we've never been. We're going to Traverse City, Michigan. Those of you that have been, you're so excited. I know, I've heard it. I'm excited too. And I've been doing a lot of research on this place, and so I've been making a lot of lists. They're very detailed lists, with day-by-day itineraries of all the things that we can do. And I just want you to know that this week, I presented this list to Zach, and I was very proud of my work. But Zach did not take my list and say, wow, thank you so much for filling every minute of every day that we're away. He looked at my list, and he said, huh, I thought we were going on vacation. So one size does not fit all, and it's okay. It's okay. And I know I am talking to a room full of people today. You have a lot of different life experiences happening right now. You might be in a season where you're like, I am so busy, I don't even know where to start. Or you might be in a season where you're like, no, I do this all the time. I'm really healthy. I have a rhythm. Great. Take where you are and build off of that. You might have a full day, you might have a morning, you might draw, you might paint, you might go skydiving, I don't know. What recharges you? What connects you to God? Find that thing and do it. It doesn't have to look like anyone else's, but it has to be something that you incorporate into your life. Our spiritual health depends on it. And so I want to invite you one last time to take out this bulletin insert. So Shelley, when she led us in prayer, sort of led us in these questions. You might have noticed that if you've been looking at it. But these are questions I want you to sit with throughout this week. I want you to pray about it. I want you to, if you have a family, make it a group project. It can be a thing you do together. But I want you to do one more thing for me. I want you to pray about this. And then I want you to take out your calendar. Because I want you to be intentional about helping rest happen. It didn't happen on accident even when the Ten Commandments were given. I promise you it's not happening on accident for us today. So make this part of your rhythm. Remember the act of Sabbath and keep it holy and treat it like a gift. Because I think even though our world is radically different than when the creation story was written, when the Ten Commandments were given, and even when Jesus walked through a wheat field with some Pharisees and disciples, even though our world is different, our need to connect back to God, it's exactly the same. Will you pray with me? God, help us know what it means to find rest in you. Help us know what it means to have souls that are restored. Jesus, we know that it matters. We know that it matters not just for us, but it matters for the people and places that we are around. And so, God, give us space. Maybe give us courage. Help us let you be God, and help us let ourselves have limits. Jesus, remember, you find us, you see us, you love us. Help us know that as we lean into rest.